All right. Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Mem Hey. We left off with the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. So today's Gemara is going to be comprised primarily of two topics. So the first topic is really a continuation of what we began to see yesterday, which is the fact that the shor, in order to be put to death, in order to be given skila, has to be owned by a private individual throughout the entire process. When it gores, when the testimony comes in, and when the gemar din is handed down. Today we're going to discuss, the Mishnah is going to begin discussing, let's say the shor gores a person, and it is chayiv skila, and let's say then it either did not yet have the gemar din, or it did already have the gemar din, two cases that the gemara is going to explain. And while the shor is being led to skila, or before the gemar din, the owner goes and is makdish the shor. So we saw yesterday that you have to have a shor owned by a private owner throughout the entire process. So let's say the owner's a smart guy, so he tries to short circuit this process by saying, or he tries to undermine, I should say, this halacha by being makdish the shor prior to the time of skila. Does the animal still get skila or not? So is the hektish valid or not to save the animal from skila? That's going to be the first topic. And then the second topic, which is going to begin on the middle of Mem Hei Amud Aleph and then continue on to Mei Amud Beis, two related topics really, and it's going to continue with the Mishnah in the middle of Mem Hei Amud Beis until the end of today's shiur, talks about what happens if a shomer guards a, what happens if a shor is owned by a person and the person gives the shor to somebody else to watch. So we know that there are four types of shomrim. There's a shomer chinam, there's a shomer sachar, there's a nosei sachar, a renter, and a shoel. And the question is, so what happens with respect to the liability of the watchman? What happens with respect to the liability of the shomer? To what extent is he chayev? And that's tied to a machlokas, which we'll see, a three-part machlokas in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, and in the Gemara, what level of shmira is required to be undertaken when you watch a shor? Not necessarily by the shomer versus the bailim, but if anybody is watching a shor, either the bailim or a shomer, if you have a shor in your possession, what level of shmira are you chayiv in making sure that the shor isn't mazik anybody? And then that translates into, well, what level of shmira is the shomer going to be mechayiv in, and are the two consistent or not? So we'll see all of this later on in the second half of today's shiur. So let's pick up with the Mishnah on Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Shorshu Yotze Lisakel. So you have a shor that's going out for skila because it killed a person. Vekdishu Baalav. And then the Baal is Makdish the shor. So he gives it to Hektish. Enam Muktash. It's not a valid Hektish. Why? Because it's already had a Gemar Din and it's already going out to receive skila. Shachto Besaro. If you shecht the shor, then the Shachto Besaro, then Asur, then it's going to be Asur. In other words, it's literally considered as if it's already chayiv skila, because it's considered as if it's already been given skila because it's going out to skila. Vim achelo nigmardino ekdishu bailav. However, if the bailim is makdish the shor before the gemar din, then muktash, then it's going to be muktash. Vim shachta besoro mutter, and if you shech the animal, then the meat is going to be mutter. Now, separate halacha, masra l'shomer chinam l'shoel l'nosei socher l'socher, if you have an ox and you give the ox to any type of shomer, nichnesu tachas habailim, then the shomer stands in the shoes of the bailim. What does that mean? That muad mishalem nezek sholem, v'tam mishalem chatzi nezek. That a muad is mishalem nezek sholem, and a tam is going to be mishalem chatzi nezek. And Rashi says, the point is that you were mechayiv and nezek kabailim. So you might think that the Mishnah, just parenthetically, it occurs to me, you might think that the Mishnah is taking sides in the machlokas that we saw earlier about 2 weeks ago, whether shinui rishus causes a change in the status of the shor. We saw machlokas, if the ox transfers ownership, if somebody transfers ownership to the ox, does that give you a reset? If it's a mua, does it bump you back down to a tam, or do you consider it to be a muad? It's actually not totally on that, because what we had said was that when the transfer of ownership is from the owner to a watchman, it's not considered as if any ownership transferred, because when people see the ox, they still say, oh, it's that guy's ox that the other person is guarding. So there is no shini rishus. Therefore, it's not subject to the machlokas. Hence, the uniform view in the Mishnah, it continues with whatever status it had in the hands of the Bailim, continues in the hands of the Shomer. Okay. Says the Gemara, now analyzing the first part of the Mishnah. So, Tana Rabbanan, Shur Shehemis, if a shor kills another person, Achelo Nigmar Dino, if we're talking about before the Gemara Din, then Machro Machar, then if you sell the ox, it's going to be sold. So what does it mean, Machro Machar? So Rashi says, Hu L'radia, means that you're allowed to sell the entitlement to plow with ox. You can't actually sell the ox, because, I mean, the ox is chayiv skila, so it's as if it's considered to be as if the ox is not really capable of being sold, but you could sell the rights to use the ox up until the time that the animal gets skila. And ikdisha muktash, and if you are makdish the shor, then it's considered to be a valid kedushin. Lagabe, what is this halacha shayich? So Rashi says that it's shayich lagabe me'ila. So in other words, again, Rashi's struggling. The reason that Rashi says that the nafkamina is lagabe me'ila is because what does it mean that I'm makdish a shor? What value am I giving hektish? I'm being makdish something that is ultimately chayiv skila. So what value is that? As Rashi says, nafkamina, that it's not going to be chayiv in that you are going to be chayiv in mi'ila if somebody's mal behektish. So it should be noted that according to Rav Yehuda, the shita that we saw yesterday, it would actually be even a more fundamental hektish. In other words, we're assuming that there's no way to get you out of the fact that the shor is going to be stoned. We saw yesterday that's not the case. There was a machlokas. Does the animal have to be owned by a private owner the whole time through? Now, if yes, it has to be owned by a private owner the whole time through, and I'm makdish the animal before the Gemar Din, then I will not have a Gemar Din with the owner, and if I don't have a Gemar Din with a private owner, then the animal doesn't get skila. So it could be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a greater ramification, there's a greater nafkamina as to whether the animal is hektish, forgetting about being chayiv and me'ila, whether the hektish is sufficient to actually forestall the animal from getting skila. So that's just what other Rishonim point out. You don't have to come onto Rashi's pshat that the only nafkamina is lagabe me'ila. But okay. But if it's before Gemar Din, if you sell it, it's sold. If you're makdish it, it's muktash. Shech to basara mutter. If you shech the animal, then the basar is mutter. Hechziru shomer lebeis balav. If the shomer returns, now the Gemara introduces a new case. If the shomer returns the animal to the owner before the Gemar Din, it already gored and killed somebody, but if it's before the Gemar Din, then muchzer, then it's considered to be muchzer. So what does this mean? So Rashi says that even though the Beis Din is then going to take the animal out for skila, for Gemar Din and for skila, the shomer is going to be potter, because it's considered to be as if he returns something of value to the owner, because as of when he returned the shor to the owner, it had not yet had a Gemar Din. Therefore, Rashi says, it's still considered to be a shor ma'aliyah. It's still considered to be a real shor. So you're returning something of value. So if you do so, then the shomer is going to be off the hook. It's considered to be as if he returned whatever it is he was watching. Now, this is contrasted with the following case. Misha Nigmar Dino, however, if we're dealing in the world of after Gemar Din, then machro ain't a macher. Then if you try to sell entitlement to the animal or rights in the animal to plow, then it's not considered to be a good sale, because it's after the Gemar Din. It's considered to be as if the animal's already condemned, it's put to death, it's as good as gone. Hektisho ain't a muktash. If you try to be makdish the animal, it's not a valid hektish. Shech the besaro aser. If you shech the animal, then the meat is aser. And echziru shomer lebeis balav. If the shomer has an animal, if shomer's watching an animal, if the animal gores a person and is chayav misa in the shomer's rishos, if there's already been a gemar din in the shomer's rishos, and then the shomer returns the animal back to the owner, then the owner could say, you're returning me something that is worthless, because this animal already has a gemar din for skila, and therefore, ain't a muchzer. it's not going to be muchzer. Rav Yaakov Amar, Rav Yaakov says, no, af mishenigmar dino hechziru shomer labaylov muchzer. That even after the gmar din, if the shomer returns the animal to the baylim, then it's considered to be a valid hachzara. It's considered to be a valid return, that you return that which you took, and therefore you're off the hook. So says the Gemara, well, let's say this machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Yaakov, let's try to establish it about the following. So Lema Bahakamifugi, let's say they're arguing about this. The Rabbanan Savri, that the Rabbanan say, Ein Omrim bi Isuri Hana Areshal Khalafanecha, that you can't say Lagabe in Isar Hana, that here's the thing that you loaned to me. I've given you back that which you loaned to me, and you can't get off the hook by doing so if what you're giving back is now Usur Bahana. So the Rabbanan say, Tanakama says, well, the shor that gets skila is Usur Bahana. Once it's stoned, we saw the psukim that the Bala Sharnaki, he can't get any hana from the shor at all. Once it has a gemar din, it's condemned, it's as good as done. So it's as if the skila is already done, therefore it's asur ba'ana. So if I can't say by an isur ana, reishal chalafanecha, then my return of the animal that's already had a gemar din is worthless. It's not effective as a return because I can't say a reishal chalafanecha. Rav Yaakov amar b'isurei ana, reishal chalafanecha. And Rav Yaakov says by isurei ana, that a reishal chalafanecha. We do say a reishal chalafanecha. Rashi, there's a very long Rashi, goes back and forth, but the gist of the Rashi is, what's the nafkamina in this machlokes? Aside from what we currently think the nafkamina is, are you allowed to return, or is the return of an ox that's already had a gemar din considered to be a valid return? Because we'll see that that's not what the machlokes is about in a second, but what is the real nafkamina? So Rashi says it's a nafkamina by, let's say if you stole chametz, let's say if you stole something from somebody else, and the thing that you stole is chametz, then comes Pesach. Chametz shavar lava Pesach. Chametz shavar lava Pesach is aser bahana. And then I steal a loaf of bread from you before Pesach. I don't sell it. Nobody sells it. Pesach comes. Now after Pesach, it's chametz shavar lava Pesach. Can I return? I have a chiyuv of a heshev esach zela. Can I return the loaf of bread to you and say, what do you want? I'm off the hook. I gave you your loaf of bread back. Now, if you want to say that even by something that's asur ba'ana, I could say areshal chalafanecha, and it's your problem to figure out what in the world to do with it because it's asur ba'ana, then it would be a valid, it would be a kiyum of Eshev Esagzela. If, however, we say that by Inasar Ana, we can't say HaReshel Chalafanecha, then after Pesach, if the loaf that I stole from you is now Chamet Sha'over Alava Pesach, and it's Asar Ba'ana, I can't give it back to you and say HaReshel Chalafanecha, because I've returned to you something that, practically speaking, has zero value. So says the Gemara like this, that Amar Rava, no, Dekuli Amar Omrim B'Isar Anah Areshel Chalafanecha. Everybody holds by Isar Anah that we do say Areshel Chalafanecha. Why? De'im Kein Niflog L'Inyan Chametz B'Pesach. Because if that were really the Machlokes, if it were a Machlokes that applied to generally Surei Hanah, we would argue not in the case of Shor, as we're arguing here, but we would argue in the case of Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach. Am I Mekayim, my Chiyav of Heshev Esag Zela, by returning an item that I stole from you that also happens to be Chametz Shavar Lava Pesach? Elahacha Begomrim Dino Shel Shor Shelo Befanav Kamiflagi. We're not arguing about whether by Nisar Anah I'm allowed to say Areshel Chalafanecha. What we're arguing about is whether Beis Din can give a Gmar Din when the animal Shelo Befanav, outside the presence of the owner of the animal. The Rabbanan say, the Tanakhama says, why is the Shomer allowed to return the Shor? And why is the shor considered to be muchzor even after the gemar din? Rabbanan Savri ein gomrim dino shel shor ela b'funav, that you can only do a gemar din in front of the owner. So when you're returning the shor to the animal, it's considered to be as if it never had a valid gemar din, because the gemar din was done in front of the shomer. But that's ineffective. The gemar din has to be done in front only of the owner. The amar lei, because the owner could say, yadartane lei have marakne lei la'agma, because the owner could say, well, you know, you messed me over, because had you returned the animal to me before the gemar din, there never would have been a gemar din, because I would have spirited the animal away to the swamp. I would have hid the animal and prevented Beis Din from ever giving a gemar din. Sahashta atvis However, now that you've kept the shor in your rishus and you've permitted Beis Din to do the gemar din, you've now given the animal over effectively to a party with whom I can't litigate, because I can't litigate with a court. I'm going to lose if I litigate with a court. They've already given a gemar din, and therefore, because the chachamim say, because the rabbanan say, that would be a valid gripe, that would be a valid taina. Therefore, a gemar din shelo b'fnei bailim is not going to be considered a valid gemar din. Rav Yaakov sovrar gomrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav. Rav Yaakov says, yes, we can give a gemar din to the shor, even shelo b'fnei bailim. D'amar lei sof sof migmar havi gemir lei dine. Because at the end of the day, you know, the shomer could say, whether it's in my rishos or whether it's in your rishos, then whether it's in my rishos or whether it's in your rishos, it would have had a gemar din. It would have had a gemar din either way. In other words, you wouldn't really have taken it to the swamp and just kept it there indefinitely. At some point, you would have had to have surfaced with this thing. And when you did surface with the thing, Beis Din would give you a gemar din. So you didn't lose anything by me keeping it in my rishos and having the gemar din done. And therefore, Rashi explains that why is the shomer allowed to say that what I return to you is considered to be returned? Because the shomer is not considered to have damaged the owner at all by permitting the gemar din to take place while it's in his rishus. Because he says, look, you're no worse off now than you would have been had I given it back to you. So that's the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rav Yaakov. It's not about whether by an isra no you're allowed to say arei shel chal lefanecha. It's whether the shomer is considered to be mazik biyadayim when he permits Beis Din to do the gemar din when it's in his rishus. The chachamim say it's considered to be as if he's mazik biyadayim, because the owner could have a taina and say, I never would have let this happen. Therefore, if the shomer returns it after the gemar din, it's eino muchzor, according to the chachamim. Rav Yaakov says that even after the gemar din, it's going to be muchzor. Why? Because it's not considered to be as if the shomer damaged the owner. The shomer didn't cause the owner any damage, hezek biyadayim, by giving it to a gemar din. Because he could say to the owner, look, you would have had a gemar din even had the shor been back in your rishos. So my time at the Rabbanan, what's the reason for the Rabbanan who say that the gemar din has to be in front of the bailim? So ashor yisakel v'gamba alav you must. Kamisas abaylim kach misas ashar, because the procedure for the gemar din of the shor has to be equal. It's equivalent to the procedure for the gemar din of the bailim. Ma bailim b'fneim, just like by a human being, you can do the gemar din only in front of the victim, only in front of the perpetrator of the crime. Afshar b'fanav, also by a shor, you're only allowed to do the gemar din in front of the bailim, because it says kamisas abaylim kach misas ashar. So Rav Yaakov says bishlam abaylim b'nei tainaninu. So Rav Yaakov says, well, no, you can't go blindly making these comparisons and telling me that the halacha by a shor has got to be exactly like the halacha of the bailim. Why is it that the gemar din has to be in front of the bailim? Because the bailim is a baltaina. The bailim is a human being who can make a taina to try to advocate on his behalf. That's why you have to have the gemar din in front of the bailim. However, by the shor, el shor bar taina sahu. But is the shor bar taina? For what reason would you have to have a gemar din b'funav? So that somebody can make a taina on behalf of himself. Well, the only person who's making a taina on behalf of himself is exactly that, a person. A shor is not making a taina on behalf of itself, and therefore there is no requirement for the gemar din to be in front of the owner. Tosfos points out over here, Vafilu darshinam bi alma kamisas abaylam kach misas ashar v'achmilsa ein svar ledarsho. Tosfos points out that don't think that Rav Yaakov isn't doresh the lima generally of kamisas abaylam kach misas ashar. He is. It's just that where there's a svara to deviate from the drasha, where there's a svara to distinguish, a compelling svara, then we are going to distinguish, and we're not going to blindly say that the halacha by yeshar has to be exactly like the halacha by the bailim. Okay, so now the Gemara pivots to the second topic for discussion today. And we say like this, Masru l'shomechinam l'shoel. So what we had said in the Mishnah was that if you give the animal over to a watch person, then the animal has whatever chazaka it had. If it's a mu'ah, then it's considered to be a mu'ah even in the hands of the shomer. So says the Gemara like this: Satana Rabbanan. There are four types of watchmen who enter, who basically take the place of the owner. They basically step into the shoes of the owner. Veluain, and these are them: Shomer Chinam, Vashoel, a Shomer Chinam, a borrower, Nosei Sachar, a Shomer Sachar, Vasocher, and somebody who rents. So Hargu Tamim, if the animal then kills a person while it's under the watch of the shomer, satamin, if it's a shartam, neharagin upturim and akofer. If it's a shartam, then the shartam is going to get skila, and then the shomer is exempt from making the kofer payment, because by a shartam there is no kofer payment. Shor gets skila if it kills a person, but there is no kofer. Muadin, if it's a shar mua, then neharagin, then the shar is chayav misa again because it killed a person. Umeshalman es akofer, and the shomer also has to make the kofer payment because they were in charge of watching the animal and making sure it didn't cause any damage. V'chayav in lahachzer dmei shor labaylav, and they also have to return the dmei shor, the value of the shor, to the baylim. Why? Because they borrowed, they took something into their possession to watch, and now they are not actually returning anything because this ox is condemned to death. It's chayiv skila, therefore they have to reimburse the shomer for the value of the ox. Chutz mishomer chinam, except for a shomer chinam. So by a shomer chinam, he's not going to be chayiv in this kofar payment over here. So we're going to see exactly why that's the case. So Amri Heichadami. So what situation are we talking about? Idinatri, if all of these watchmen watch the shor appropriately, then afilu kolinami lifteru, then they should all be putter. Why? Because it's an onus. Because if they watched the shor, if they guarded the shor appropriately, and the shor nevertheless got out and caused damage, why are you going to be mechayev the shomer? The shomer did everything that he could. This is an ones. Rashi points out, who should be paterir? It's only the shomer chinam, the socher, and the nosei socher. Because the shoel is chayev an onsen. So a shoel would be chayev in either case. But the shomrim, if they did a shmira, if they did a normal shmira, if they did a sufficient shmira, they should be pater. V'idelo natre, and if they didn't watch the animal at all, then afilu shomachinam nami, then afilu shomachinam nechayiv, then even the shomachinam should be chayiv as well. Why? Because the shomachinam is chayiv for pshia. So if you take an animal into your possession to watch the animal, and then you don't watch the animal, that's called pshia. You didn't do any shmir for the animal, that's pshia. A shomachinam is also chayiv in shmia. So why are we distinguishing between a shomachinam and everybody else? That distinction doesn't make sense, says the Gemara. So amri achabemayaskinan de natre shmira pechusa, that you did a shmira pechusa, you did a basic shmira, below natre shmira meula, and you didn't do a shmira meula, you didn't do a more elaborate, you didn't do a better quality shmira. So shomer chinam kolsalo shmira, so by a shomer chinam kolsalo shmira, so what is Rashi? So what does this mean? Rashi says that ain alavlis chazek b'shmiraso, that the shomer, it's not on the shomer chinam because he's not being compensated for his services. It's not on the shomer chinam to provide any more than a shmira p'chusa v'day b'kach, and therefore what he did, the shmira p'chusa that he gave, is sufficient, and therefore v'lav p'shia hi, it's not considered to be a pshia. The shomer chinam is not negligent because he gave the basic shmira. That's all he was mechayiv in. Hilkach legabe bailim poter me dmei shmura. That's why he doesn't have to pay the dmei shor back to the bailim. Dasagile b'shmira p'chusa dasagile shmira p'chusa, because it was enough for the shmira p'chusa. But Rashi says Uboi kapara. So this is very important. So it comes out when we were talking, we spoke about three things, okay? We spoke that the shor is in the possession of the shomer, and then it gores. The shor is chayav misa, fine. That applies irrespective. The shomer has to pay kofar, and then we saw a distinction between a shomer chinam and the rest of the shomerim. Is the shomer chayav to reimburse the owner for the amount, for the value of the shor? So what Rashi's saying now is when we're distinguishing between a Shomer Chinam and the other Shomrim, that's only legabe the inyan of reimbursing the owner for the value of the shor. Shomer Chinam doesn't have to if he did a Shmira Pchusa, because that's all that's expected of him, and then he's not a Poshea. However, is he chayiv to pay kofar? Yes, the Shomer Chinam, even the Shomer Chinam will be chayiv to pay kofar. Why? Because kofar is a kapara, and the guy still needs a kapara because the shor that was being watched by him went and killed somebody else. So very important Rashi here, that's where the distinction between a Shomer Sachar and the other type of Shomer Maplai, are they going to be chayiv to reimburse the owner for the value of the shor? Shomer Chinam not to be zid of Shmira Pchusa because kol solo Shmira. So, hanach lo kol solo Shmira. So, however, by the others, the Shmira Pchusa is not enough, Rashi explains, because they should have been mischazek b'Shmira, so, because the owner is paying them, and therefore, legabe them, it's considered to be a pshia that they didn't do the proper, it's considered to be a pshia that they didn't do the proper Shmira. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask Akasha, in order to understand the Kasha, we're going to have to know something that the Gemara is going to get into on Mem Hei Amud Beis, and that is, there is a machlokes in the Mishnah that we're going to learn in a couple of minutes, what type of Shmira the Bailam is Mechayev in when he's watching his shor, or what type of Shmira the Shomer who steps into the shoes of the Bailam is going to be Mechayev in when he watches a shor. Rav Meir is going to say that you always require a Shmira Me'ula, but Rav Yehuda will say that by a short time, and this seems to be counterintuitive, but by a short time you require a Shmira Me'ula, but by a Sharmuad, he'll have a Ribuy in a Pasuk that teaches us that you're only Mechayev a Shmira Pchusa. So that's a machlokas Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, whether you always require a Shmira Me'ula, or whether by a Sharmuad a Shmira Pchusa is sufficient. And there's another machlokas by a socher, whether a socher is like a shomer sachar, whether a renter is like a shomer sachar, like a paid watchman, or like a shomer chinam. That Rav Meir says that he's like a shomer chinam, and Rav Yehuda says that he's like a shomer sachar. So two machloksen will explain as we go on. So Amri, come on. So who is this like? So ik Rav Meir, if it's like Rav Meir, diamar socher kishomer chinam dami, if our price is going like Rav Meir says that a socher is like a shomer chinam, then listen, chutz mishomer chinam v'asocher. Well, our price was saying that the halacha is X legabe all of the other shomrim, but the shomer chinam doesn't have to reimburse the bile for the value of the shor. Well, if it's like Rav Meir says that the socher is like a shomer chinam, then you know who else should be putter for making the reimbursement payment to the bile? The socher should also be putter for making the reimbursement payment. So, listening, chutz mishomer chinam v'asocher, v'ik Rav Yehuda, and if it's going like Rav Yehuda, diamar socher kenosei socher dami. And if it's like Rav Yehuda who says that the socher is like a nosei socher, then nisni chutz mishomer chinam, then it should have said everybody's chayef to reimburse the owner for the value of the ox except for a shomer chinam, the kulam b'muadim pturim lenyan kofar. And also, by a muad, they're all potter, linyan, kofar. Why? Because Rav Yehuda is the one who says, in other words, if you're going to fit this into the shita of Rav Yehuda, so that the socher is not grouped together with the shomer chinam, rather with the shomer sachar, then you should apply the shita of Rav Yehuda consistently. And the shita of Rav Yehuda is that by a shomer muad, it's enough to do a shmira pchusa, and if it's enough to do a shmira pchusa by a shor muad, and we're assuming that the shomer did a shmira pchusa, so then why are they chayef kofar? What kind of kapara do they need? They did what they were supposed to do. So it should say patrilinian kofar. Rav Huna says, Mahamani Rav Elazar hi. Well, because this Braisa follows the Shita of Rav Elazar. What's the Shita of Rav Elazar? I thought we just explained the Machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, what type of Shmira is required for Shar Muad. Rav Meir says it's Shmira Ma'al Yisa, Shmira Ma'ula, and Rav Yehuda says it's Shmira Pchusa, but there's another Shita of Rav Elazar, and Rav Elazar says, Ein lo Shmira Ela Sakin. A nice way of saying that by a Shar Muad, it is not even enough to do a Shmira Me'ula. In other words, you're always going to be chayev kofar if the animal that you're watching harms somebody, even if you have done the best level shmira. The only shmira is besakin. What does it mean? It means if you want to totally absolve yourself from liability, shech the animal, kill the animal. That's the only way you're going to be able to get out of it, because no matter what kind of watching you do, it's never going to be enough. L'inyan socher, however, legabi the inyan of socher, that's why the real chayiv in kofer. But l'inyan socher, sever lak Rav Yehuda, diyamar socher, kenosa socher dami. But l'inyan socher, a whole like Rav Yehuda, says that the socher is like yishomer socher. That's why in the brisa, which is distinguishing legabi the requirement to reimburse the owner for the value of the shar, we single out only the shomer chinam. We don't add the socher to the list, because this brisa goes like Rav Yehuda in that respect, that the socher is like a nosei socher. So Abaye Amar Liolam Krav Meir. Really, we owe like Rav Meir across the board that by a shor mua the shmira meula is required. It's not enough with a shmira pchusa, and that's why you're going to be chayev kofer. Uchadamachlef Rabba Baravua, and we have to switch the shita as to what Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda hold about the socher and whether it's like a nosa socher or shor machinam. The tani socher ketsa mashalem. Rav Meir omer kishomer socher, and that's why we don't group him with the shor machinam in our brisa. Rav Yehuda omer kishomer chinam. Zamar Rav Elazar maser shorer l'shor machinam. If you give your shomer over to a shor machinam, hizik chayev. If it does damage you, the shomer is chayev. Huzak, if the animal is damaged, putter. Then he's putter. Zamri, hechadami. So what situation are we talking about here? Ida kabbalalav shmiras niskav, if he accepted in his shmira that he's accepting shmira even for the purpose of nizikin. The Rashba says that by this we don't mean that when you accept the shmira you actually have to expressly stipulate that you're accepting upon yourself also shmira for nizikin. Rather, that's the default assumption, is that you are accepting upon yourself shmira for nizikin unless you so stipulate expressly otherwise. So if you accepted upon yourself shmiras nizikin, now filu huzak nami l'chayev, then you should be chayev even if the animal is harmed, because you flat out accepted upon yourself shmiras nizikin. Lid lokal b'bal shmiras nizakav, and if you didn't accept upon yourself shmira for the purposes of nizikin, then afilu hizak nami lifter, then you should be putter even if the animal does damage. So amarava liolam shekibalav shmiras nizkav. Really, you did accept upon yourself shmiras nizakin. V'ach b'mayeskinan. That you recognize that the shor is a shor nagchan, and therefore v'stama demilsa d'lo azel iu umazik v'stama demilsa d'lo azel iu umazik achrini kabel aleo. And therefore, since you understood that this ox is prone to gore anyway, when you accepted the ox in your possession v'stama, you were makabel upon yourself a shmira that the ox shouldn't go gore other people, because you knew it was a nagchan. So when you accepted the shmira, it's obvious that you accepted the shmira that so that it shouldn't harm others. However, because it's a shor nagchen, you never assume that it would be gored by another animal. Rashi says, because we would have assumed that other animals would be scared of it. Therefore, yes, you were makabel upon yourself shmira to make sure it doesn't do damage to others, but no, you were not makabel on yourself shmira to make sure that others don't do damage to it. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Kashra b'ilav b'mosra, if the bailim ties the animal with the rein, with a leather rein, v'nol b'funav karoi, or if he locks a door in front of the animal karoi. So what does it mean, karoi? So Rashi says it means he does a shmira p'chusa. It's a shmira. It's a shmiras deles. It's a locked door that will be able to withstand a ruach mitsuya, but it will not be able to withstand a ruach she'ena mitsuya. So if you do a shmira p'chusa, the yotza v'hizik, and it goes and does damage, echatam v'yechad muad chayev divra Rameir. Rameir says that both by a tam and by a muad you're going to be chayev if you do such a shmira. Why? Because what we saw just before, that the shita of Rav Meir is that by a shomer, by a shor tam and by a shor muad, you have to do a shmira meula. It's not enough to do a shmira p'chusa. What would be an example of a shmira meula, parenthetically? So a shmira meula would be if you tie it not with a leather rein, but with literally if you tie it with a chain, if you tie it with a rein made out of steel, or if you lock it behind a deles, a door that is capable of withstanding even a ruach she'ena mitsuya. So that would be, even an uncommonly strong wind, that would be a shmira mu'ula. But Rav Meir, you only did a shmira p'chusa, therefore, according to Rav Meir, you're chayev. Rav Yehuda amar tam chayev amuad pater. Rav Yehuda says, by a tam you're going to be chayev, because by a tam you're mechayev a shmira mu'ula. However, by a muad you're going to be pater, because a muad's enough for a shmira p'chusa. Shenamar v'leish morenu ba'alav v'shamar huzeh. Because by a muad it says that you're only chayev when lo yishmerenu ba'alav, and over here you watched it. And so therefore, you are going to be pater if you have done a shmira p'chusa by a sharmuad. Rav Elazar Amar, ein lo shmira elasakin. And this is the sheet of Rav Elazar that we just saw, that by a sharmuad, there is no shmira except for death. In other words, there is no shmira that is sufficient to protect you from liability as the owner by a sharmuad. Turns out that by a sharmuad, there is a three-way machlokes. Is it enough for a shmira p'chusa, or do you require a shmira mu'ula, or is no shmira sufficient? By a short time, everybody agrees that you're required to do a shmira mu'ula, and that a shmira mu'ula is sufficient. That there's no man the Amar who says that by a short time you're chayev even if you've done a shmira mu'ula. So that's three way machlokas by mu'ad. Everybody agrees by Tom. Says the Gemara, my time is Rav Meir. What's the reason for a Meir that he says that you're chayev a shmira mu'ula in both the case of a shor tam and the case of a shor mu'ad? Ksavar stam shvarim la v'cheska shimur kaimeh. He holds that most shvarim are not becheska shimur. So what does that mean? Rashi says, ein adam mishamer shoro klal elaminicha v'yotze. That a stam person doesn't watch his animal at all. He just lets it graze and roam around freely. And therefore, v'emarachmana, tam nechayiv, diniboy le shmira p'chusa, that by a tam, you're chayiv, if the animal does damage, so that teaches me that I should do a shmira p'chusa, hada amarachmana, then it says by muad, it says in the pasuk v'leish merenu, which seems to imply an additional level of shmira required for a shor muad. Then v'yalef negicha latam negicha lamuad, and now we have gzeir shava negicha latam negicha lamuad. And just like a muad, we've now established requires a shmira mu'ula. Now we learn back to tam and say so too the tam requires a shmira mu'ula. So the sheet of Rav Meir, both a tam and a muad require shmira. Rav Yehuda says stam shvarim becheska shimur kaimei, that a stam shor is becheska shimur. In other words, that the stam way that people behave is that they do guard their animals, they do give some level of shmira for their animals. Some rachmana tam neshalim, that a tam has to pay diniboy le shmira mu'ula, so the tam requires a shmira mu'ula. Hadam rachmana v'lo yishmerenu gabe mu'ad. And then the pasuk says, "V'lo yishmerenu l'gabe yishar muad denavid le shmira mu'ula." That again, it teaches me that I should make a shmira mu'ula, but now have a riboy achar riboy. Now it's considered to be a riboy achar riboy. Vein riboy achar riboy el alamayit, and a riboy achar riboy comes to serve as a miut. Miut akasev l'shmira mu'ula. That the pasuk comes to exclude a shmira mu'ula by yishar mu'ad. So in other words, the extra v'lo yishmerenu by yishar mu'ad actually comes and teaches me that I require only a shmira of one level down, so that by yishar tam I require a shmira mu'ula, by yishar mu'ad I require shmira p'chusa. V'chitema negicha latam negicha lemu'ad. So, and if you want to say, well, in that case, what about the gzeir shava negicha negicha, that the halacha by yishar tam should be the same as halacha by yishar mu'ad? But the pasuk gave a miyut dafka by a sharmuad. It said v'leish merenu lazev v'lo la'acher. That says v'leish merenu lazev v'lo la'acher. V'miboy le l'lav. So, but we need the pasuk of v'leish merenu to teach me the pasha pshat, that it has to teach me v'lo yishmerenu balav, that you didn't do a shmira. Im kein nichtov. So, how does it teach me that I don't make this gzeir shava? Sim kein nichtov rachmana v'lo yishmer. My v'lo yishmerenu. So it comes to teach me that it's dafka by a shor mua that I apply this miyut that knocks down the required level of shmira to a shmira p'chusa, but by a shor tam the halacha stands that stam people guard their shvarim. By a shor tam you require even an extra level of shmira, hence you require shmira mu'ula. Tani Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer echad tam v'echad mua sheshamar shmira p'chusa pater. Both by a tam and by a muad, if you do a shmira p'chusa, you're going to be pater. My taima, why? Because sovelak Rav Yehuda, he holds like Rav Yehuda. Diamar muad b'shmira p'chusa sagi, because he holds like Rav Yehuda that by shor muad a shmira p'chusa is enough. And v'yalef negicha latam negicha lamuad. And then he's going to bring the halacha by a muad back to the tam. He's not going to say that he's not going to darshan lozev v'lo la'acher. So he's going to bring the drasha by muad back to the tam. And they're both going to be sufficient with a shmira p'chusa. Amravada barahava lo pata Rav Yehuda el atzada adashabo. That when Rav Yehuda says that by a shor muad, it's enough for a shmira plusa. That's only for its tzad ha'ada. Aval tzad tamos bimkom omedes. So this is already something that we saw. A couple of days ago. That when you have a shor muad, what happens to the shor muad? Is it considered to be like a tam plus, or is it considered to be like a totally new animal? Over here, we're saying it's like a tam plus. Now remember, by a tam, you require shmira ma'ula. By a muad, you require only a shmira p'chusa. But Tosfos explains over here, it will be ridiculous to assume that because the animal became a shor muad, that even lagabe, the tam portion, I'm now only required to perform a lower level of shmira. That doesn't make any sense. So we sort of view the animal as split. For the short tam portion, I'm chayev a shmira mu'ula. Therefore, if I did a shmira p'chusa, I'm still going to be chayev. But for the second muad portion, for that, where I have the exclusion in the pasuk, the liman in the pasuk, for that, the shor muad is going to be the shmira p'chusa, rather, is going to be enough only for the second half of the damage. All right, so we'll, Rabbi Leibowitz actually is back for Shabbos. We'll pick up here six lines up from the bottom tomorrow.